Today on the Girl Defined Show, we're going to hear an incredible story about a woman named Kylie Basuti, who at the age of 19 years old became the number one Googled person in the entire world. And this happened because she won a massive Victoria's Secret modeling competition where she literally beat out 10,000 women to ultimately land the opportunity to walk the runway in a Victoria's Secret fashion show. This was her biggest dream, and it had become her reality. But as you'll hear today in her story, the glitz and glam didn't last for long because Kylie began experiencing really the emptiness, the darkness, and the corruption behind the scenes of the elite modeling industry. And she opens up and shares that with us today. She also shares how, as a Christian, she felt constantly pressured to compromise. So, to the world's shock, she made the incredibly courageous choice to walk away from everything. And later on, after leaving, she posted a tweet that simply said, "I quit being a Victoria's Secret model to be a Proverbs 31 wife." Whoa. Kylie, welcome to the Girl Defined Show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so glad to be here to share my story.
I am so excited. I know. I hope everybody after hearing that intro is like, I am sticking around till the very end because your testimony, your story, your journey, it is such an incredible picture of someone who walked in a place where most of us will never walk, but choosing to honor the Lord in the end and walking away from what the world would say is everything. Like you were at the top. Why in the world would you ever walk away from the top? Right? I mean, that's what we're told. Yeah. Like if you have it all, it's all you need. But for you, that wasn't the case. And so I want to ask you a little bit later about your book, but you did come out with a book, I'm No Angel. And the subtitle is From Victoria's Secret Model to Role Model. And we actually, so I came across your story, I think it was like 2015, when my sister Bethany and I were actually researching for our book, Girl Defined, which is our first book. And it's a book all about God's design for femininity, identity, womanhood. And one of the chapters is on beauty, and we titled it Beauty That Doesn't Need a Runway. And I remember researching for that chapter, and I was like, you know, reading all these different stories of women, and I came across your story. That was the first time I had ever seen it. And I was like, whoa, like this is amazing. This is so incredible. Just your courageous choice to leave something for something better. But to the world's eyes, it doesn't make sense. So we unpack your story a little bit in our book. So I know a lot of our sisterhood or community are going to be familiar with your story a little bit, just through our book. And then I'm sure many have read your book, but I know there are probably a lot who are brand new to your story. Like, okay, I want to hear what this girl has to say. So I really want to start though by rewinding all the way back to like little Kylie. What were you like as a little girl? What did your life look like back then?
As a little girl, I grew up in a super tiny town. The school was K through 12, maybe like 100 kids for the whole thing. No hospital in the town, no like fast food restaurants, nothing. It was just a really small town. And I was always told from a young age that I should be a model because I was naturally very thin, very long legs. And I just always wanted to become a model from the time that I was a really little girl. And I ended up moving to Las Vegas, which was like a huge difference because I go from this super tiny town to a massive town where the school has like thousands of kids, which is more kids than my entire town that I came from.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's kind of where my modeling career started, was in Las Vegas.
Okay. And how old were you at this point in time?
When I moved to Vegas, I was 8, almost 9. And then I signed with an agency a couple years after living there.
Okay. So tell me over the next, I don't know, your teen years, what did that look like? Did you start modeling? When did you actually get into modeling officially?
So I started modeling in Las Vegas when I was in junior high. And then from there, I actually got sent out of the country to model in Thailand and Japan. And then when I was 16, they sent me to New York to move there and model full time.
Wow. And you were 16. You moved all the way to New York by yourself with family? What did that look like?
Yeah, by myself.
Wow. That's a big deal. Did you feel like that was a big deal at the time?
At the time, I just felt really excited. I grew up watching America's Next Top Model, and I saw that all these models, you know, have to travel and go places. And so I knew that that's kind of what I needed to do if I wanted to make it in this career, is go from a young age. Obviously, models start out pretty young. And so it was just kind of exciting for me. But when I got there, it was definitely a lot scarier. And to see the things that went on in the modeling world was definitely a shock.
Yeah. And what kind of things? Take us behind the scenes a little bit. Like, what was shocking about it?
So there were so many different things that happened when I first got to New York. I lived in a model's apartment, so there were like a few different models from the agency who were kind of crammed into this small space. And the girls were like 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. And different club promoters would come to the model's apartment driving a limousine and pick up models and take them to nightclubs. And the models would be given free food and alcohol. So these are, you know, underage girls, like 15-year-olds, who are given alcohol to party with all the people at the nightclub, because the nightclub would say, we have models here, and, like, use that as a draw for people to, you know, come to their nightclubs. And so these girls were getting addicted to alcohol at such a young age. And the eating disorders were absolutely crazy. And obviously, you know, different models getting preyed on by photographers. I know, like, in the past 5 years, we've heard a lot more about this. But back when I was modeling, it wasn't like known that a lot of the photographers did these things and took advantage of the young girls. And so a lot of girls were getting raped and molested.
Wow, that's so sad. And what were you thinking during this time as you're kind of living your dream, but you're also seeing the behind the scenes, the darker, more troubling side of this industry? Kind of what was going through your head?
It was definitely shocking. And I really think, like, the only reason I kept staying there and kept pursuing that career was because I really made modeling my identity. You know, growing up, everyone said you should be a model, and that's what I always wanted to be. And I felt like if I left at that point, everyone would be like, oh, you failed at it. You didn't end up doing what you said you were going to do. And I really didn't want to go back to my school because I got bullied so much and got called anorexic because I was so thin. And I just really didn't want to go back to that and have all the kids see me and and like think, oh, you couldn't even make it as a model. And stayed there. And even though it was really uncomfortable and a lot of scary situations at times, I just kept it up and kept pursuing my dream of becoming a model.
Wow. And then when did Victoria's Secret? So there was some big competition, right? Kind of explain what happened with that, how you found out about it, what it was.
So it was kind of a whirlwind of a lot happened from the time that I turned 18 until the competition. So I was living in New York from 16 to 18. And then when I turned 18, I actually met the man that I ended up marrying. And I got married before the whole competition, which a lot of people, if they didn't read my book, they, like, don't hear the deeper story of it all. And definitely during the competition, Victoria's Secret did not promote that I was married.
You know? They're like, we'll keep that one on the hush-hush.
Yeah. And so I had gotten married.
And you were pretty young. How old were you when you got married?
Yeah, I just turned 19. So I met my husband when I was 18, and when I was 19, we got married. And then not too long after that is when the whole Victoria's Secret thing happened. So one of his family members actually was shopping at a Victoria's Secret store, and they were promoting this big competition audition. And it just so happened to be taking place in California, which is where she lives, and I was there. And she came home all excited, and she was like, this is like the perfect thing for you. You have to go try out for it. And it was happening in like 3 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I just went for it, and I went down there, and it was just very similar to America's Next Top Model. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, there were just thousands of girls there, and they were just watching their runway walks and saying nope or yes. And I got a yes. So it ended up getting narrowed down to a handful of girls. And then we had to walk on a runway in front of all the owners of Victoria's Secret. And then this was happening in like different major cities. So New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and then also online videos from around the world. And wow. So they narrowed it 10 girls out of like over 10,000 who auditioned. And I got a call that I was one of those 10. So I was getting flown back to New York to go through the whole process of America basically voting on who would be the next runway angel.
Wow. What were you thinking at that point when you heard that you were one of the 10?
It was really surreal. It was, I remember being in line at a Starbucks with my mom when I got the call, and I just really couldn't believe it. Like, it was what I had dreamed of my whole modeling career, was to become a Victoria's Secret model, because that's like the top of the industry is Victoria's Secret. That's, you know, once you get to Victoria's Secret, you're like pretty much considered a supermodel, and you start getting a lot of contracts from there. And obviously, like, everyone knows about Heidi Klum and how she's just like doing all sorts of TV shows now and stuff. It's really just the pinnacle of any model's career. And so when I was told that I was one of the 10, I really just couldn't believe it.
Wow. And what is your husband thinking, one, and two, where was your faith in all of this? Were you a believer at this point? Were you searching? What was going on behind the scenes?
So my husband, it was kind of like a shock for him, because he didn't even know who Heidi Klum was when I met him. Which is,
I guess,
like,
that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing, but like crazy to me, because I was like, everybody knows who Heidi Klum is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we actually saw her at an airport one time, like a year prior to this, and he was like, who is that? There's like a bunch of paparazzi around this lady over here. She was like in line at a Starbucks, and there were people taking pictures of her. And I was like, that's Heidi Klum. You don't know who that is? And I was like freaking out inside. And because obviously at that time I had looked up to her in the modeling world. And so he was just really new to all this. It was all kind of a shock for him. And so he didn't have any idea of what was going to happen, that his wife was going to be like paraded around in lingerie. So that was all a shock for him. And I was a Christian at that time. I actually got saved when I was 15 through something I talk about in my book. I won't get into it here, but it was a really dark place in my life where something had happened that I couldn't forgive myself for. And I found that the Lord forgave me for something that I couldn't even forgive myself for. And that's when I first found out about his forgiveness and his love. And I became a believer and got baptized. And, but I was, you know, such a new Christian, 15, got saved, moved to New York at 16. And so, just being a new believer in that environment, I was still so focused on myself and focused on my dreams and my goals, and just such a different mindset. Mm-hmm. Like, I had so many people tell me, God wouldn't have given you those long legs if he didn't want you to be a supermodel and go use them. And
yeah, so,
like, had that mindset that, oh, this is what God wants me to do. And There's nothing wrong with, you know, doing it because it's for my career. And obviously he's changed my heart completely since that time. But mm-hmm. at that time, I was just so focused on the fame and the attention and making it to the top of my career.
So take us to the place where you made the final 10 and you're in New York. What happened next? Kind of walk us through the behind the scenes of that process.
So it was kind of similar to when I first moved to New York at 16. We went and we were in an apartment. Obviously, the apartment was way nicer than when I moved there at 16. At 16, it was like a tiny little space with cockroaches.
Ooh.
And for the Victoria's Secret, you know, competition, they had us in a really beautiful apartment that wasn't crammed. But there were a lot of us in there, but it was a really nice place in New York. And we immediately started doing different competitions, similar to America's Next Top Model. They had to compete, and that's what they had us do, was different challenges. There was like a workout challenge, photo shoot challenges, runway challenges, and then America would vote for who they thought did the best in each challenge, basically, and who they wanted okay. to, and they narrowed it down from there.
So were people, was this being televised? Like, was this a show where people were watching you compete in all of these challenges, and then they could actually cast a vote at the end?
Yeah, so it was online. It was like an online okay. show. Kind of a new thing back then. Now there's so much more of that. But this was kind of a newer thing at that time because it was 2009. So even like Instagram wasn't even a big thing back then. And so it was all online up until the actual like yearly fashion show that Victoria's Secret does. So every like mm-hmm. December they do a big fashion show. And during that fashion show, they showed like the kind of the whole story of the beginning of all of us 10 coming to New York, and then little, you know, snippets of each competition and America voting. And then like that night, basically America voted and then the winner walked the runway is kind of how it went.
And how did you find out that you were the winner?
So at the like rehearsal, basically, of the runway show, it's recorded, like pre-recorded. So it's not a live show. So the show was recorded 2 weeks before America saw it. And what they did was they had Heidi Klum announce that I was the winner. And then they had her also announce that the number two, like there was two of us. So she announced both of us as the winner. And then during the night of the fashion show, when America voted, they played whoever won. So as America voted, they were either going to play the other girl who was named Jamie Lee, or they were going to play my video of me walking down the runway during the big runway show. So oh, wow. I out in a nightclub. I was there watching the runway show with all the other like angels, with, you know, like Doubtson mm-hmm. and Adriana and like all the different angels who also walked in the runway show. And Jamie Lee and I were sitting at a table together, and basically we both found out then and there that I was the winner, and it showed my version of me winning and walking down the runway.
And what was going through your head in that moment?
In that moment, I just couldn't believe it, like seeing myself up there during the runway show that I had watched so many times as a mm-hmm. as a kid, and like dreaming of being up there, and to see me, you know, actually walking down it was really crazy. But it was also a really bad night for me. Like it was one of the most insecure nights of my life. That night when I was crowned the newest runway angel, being in that nightclub, and like being surrounded with all these models, it was just, it wasn't fulfilling like I thought it would be. And then not to mention my husband was with me, and like right after the runway show ended, it just turned into this big party where the models were dancing on tables and drinking and things that I definitely didn't do. And then they had a lot of new dancers come out, and that was very awkward for me. My husband just left. Like, he was like, I'm not gonna be around this. So he just left, and it was just the beginning of the realization that none of this really fulfilled me and made me happy. It actually made me feel very insecure and unfulfilled.
And how ironic, you know, that it's happening all at the same time. Like, what the world would say is the biggest moment in your life, and you're feeling, you're not feeling like it's that awesome. You're starting to feel that wrestle, that tension. Oh, it's so crazy. So your husband left. He's like, I'm not going to have any part of this. And what did the next few months, years, I mean, how long were you actually doing stuff with Victoria's Secret? And was the runway that you mentioned just now, was that the actual Victoria's Secret fashion show that you walked in? Or did that come later?
No, that was the actual like yearly show that they do in December. So most people think that it was like all live and it all happened right then and there. And like, they see my reaction when Heidi Klum says the newest runway angel is Kylie Vasuti, and they're like, oh, she's crying, she's so excited. But it was actually all like acting. We had to do like takes of Heidi Klum, you know, they're filming her and all the angels are all around and they're like announcing it. But it was the actual runway show. So what they do is they film two runway shows, so that they could like cut, you know, and use whatever scene, whichever one is the best from each scene.
Okay.
And, so it's like all the celebrities were there, you know, in the front row, and my husband actually came and, got to watch me walk down the runway, with my dad. But it was like a big, huge party, at the runway show. And then 2 weeks later is when they televised it on national TV.
Okay.
So most people, it's like live, but it's not.
Yeah. I guess that's most of TV, right? It's very tricky. We feel like it's like most of what you see isn't actually happening the way that they want you to think it's happening. Okay. So you are seeing this later, all this pre-recorded stuff. You find out you're the winner. And then what did it look like after that for you?
I became very insecure. So I thought, you know, growing up getting called anorexic, I was never very confident in myself. I always felt insecure. I felt like I needed to gain weight. Then I moved to New York and I had to lose weight because they said I was a fat pig and, I wasn't thin enough to be there. And so, that made me, you know, feel more insecure. And so I always thought, you know, these Victoria's Secret models, they look so confident, they look so happy, they're always smiling, blowing kisses, and you know, the world like looks at them as these women are the most beautiful women, and really they're very like insecure. Being at the top just made me more insecure with who I was. And a big reason for it was that at the runway show, when all the models got there, you know, Alessandra Ambrosia, Heidi Klum, all of the models. So we all got there in the morning time. The recording didn't happen until hours and hours later. It was a full day of just turning these models into what you see when you watch the runway show. With the hair, the makeup, the airbrushing away any scars or imperfections on our bodies. Just tons and tons of fake hair, like tables, long tables of fake hair that they put on the models, and padding for the bras, just all sorts of fake things that went into the end result that the world sees and that little girls are looking up to. You know, little girls are looking at these models thinking that that's just how they look, but That's so many.
It's how hours. They rolled out of bed looking like that, right?
Yeah. So many hours go into getting that image. And so after, you know, the world seeing me like that, I really felt like I had to maintain that image.
Sure.
I didn't feel comfortable just in my own skin. Like I felt like I always had to have a spray tan. I always had to have my hair extensions. I always had to have my body in, you know, the perfect shape. All of these pressures kind of just came at me. And I didn't feel good about myself. And it actually got so much worse when I had my younger cousin, who was really young at the time, and she told me that she wanted to stop eating her food so that she could be beautiful like me.
Wow.
And it broke my heart, and God started using things like that to show me that, you know, she's not the only girl feeling this way. There's thousands of little girls who look up to these models, who look up to me, who are thinking the same thing, that they need to look a certain way, they have to have a certain body type, they have to have a certain color of skin, you know, that bronzed skin that that Victoria's Secret promotes. And it really, he really just used that to start showing me that I was not being the type of role model, the type of woman that he called me to be.
Wow. Started with a conversation with your younger cousin. It's amazing what God will use to kind of like, oh, get us to think differently about something. But I'm glad you brought up a little bit of the behind the scenes of what really goes on to prepare and to get the image like you described, because I know I felt this. You know, you walk by a Victoria's Secret store and the posters are as big as the entire wall, you know, of these women in lingerie, and they look perfect. I mean, flawless. And you just think, oh, that's just how they look. They wake up looking like that. And in my mind, I remember many times just thinking, wow, that is the image of beauty. Like, that is what beauty is. And I'm nowhere close to that. So I'm not beautiful. You know, I'm ugly. I need to do everything I can to try to look like that, to try to live up to that image. So I think you sharing the truth about what really goes on behind the scenes, that this isn't something, these women don't just wake up looking like this, but they spend hours and hours doing all of the things that you mentioned, the fake hair, all the makeup, the spray tans, covering any blemishes, any flaws, any ounce of like humanity, you know, like what like real humans have on their bodies, like covering all of that up to create this perfect image and then putting it out there to say, like, this is what beauty is. And so I just appreciate you sharing that, because I think it is easy to buy into the lies because they just look so perfect. And it's helpful to get a peek behind the scenes to realize, oh, that's not actually reality, what we're seeing in these pictures.
Yeah, it's not reality at all. And I mean, all of those things go on the day of the show, but there's also so much that these models do, you know, the weeks and months leading up to the show as well. I had one of the biggest runway angels tell me that for 2 weeks before the show, she basically starved herself. Like, she didn't eat hardly anything to get down to the weight that they wanted her to be. And like, a lot of these models, they're like, what are you going to do after the show? They're like, I'm going to go eat a cheeseburger, because they hadn't eaten, to get ready for. And that's just not healthy. It's not something that anybody should be doing. But that's the reality of the industry. You know, there's so many eating disorders that are going on in the industry. It's just a really unhealthy thing that no woman can live up to. Mm-hmm. And as I started doing like different photo shoots and different ad campaigns and different things like that, I would see the images of myself in the catalogs or the magazines or, you know, on posters. And I couldn't even live up to the images of myself because it was so photoshopped and fake. And like, some of the images, they would make my boobs 3 times bigger. They would make my cheeks defined. It was just crazy how much they would more change the models' bodies, where like, we can't even live up to the images of ourselves. How is any other woman or little girl going to live up to these images? They can't. Nobody can, because it's all fake.
That's so crazy because it's not like as a model, you're just comparing yourself to the other models, the other women, but actually to your own airbrushed image, like your own Photoshopped image. That's something that I don't think, like I've never really thought about that. Like, that's crazy that it's like you're competing against multiple people, including yourself. And so, and you can't measure up. Who can measure up to themselves being perfected in person and then like Photoshopped on a computer? It's like, it's not even realistic. And when we see these pictures, because I know I have felt this many times, like those women look so happy. They look like they have it all. But it sounds like what you're saying behind the scenes, I mean, were these women the most content, the happiest, the most confident? Or did they struggle, like you kind of suggested earlier, like with a lot of insecurities?
They definitely weren't happy, like when you see, you know, them blowing kisses and smiling and everything looks great. I did different photo shoots with, you know, a lot of the angels and just the runway show, being around them, spending a lot of time with them. I saw that they're struggling just as much as everyone else. And just as insecure, as other women out there. And, you know, a lot of them would drink a lot, so they were turning to alcohol because they weren't fulfilled. Obviously the only real fulfillment is Christ, and none of these models had Christ, and so they would turn to all sorts of things, alcohol, sex. I did have, you know, one model who I asked, you know, what do you do to keep in shape, and she was also an angel. She told me she just has a lot of sex with her boyfriend. And that was her advice to me, you know, coming into the scene, a young girl just, you know, looking for advice. That was her advice. It's very worldly advice. But that's what these models do. They just drink alcohol, they have sex, and they're looking to all these other places to find fulfillment because they're not finding it in Christ, and modeling isn't fulfilling them. So they definitely were not happy. A lot of them were very catty, and we actually had a lot of the models talking bad about us in the bathroom at the runway show because they were upset that we were, you know, going to be able to walk the runway because we won through a competition, and they've been modeling and had to do things to get there is basically what they were thinking about it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so they were just like really catty and very mean and upset with us almost. And so they're definitely not all happy and cheerful and, you know, like you said, on the runway show.
It's so good to be reminded of what things are like behind the scenes because, like I said, it's easy to buy into the narrative, to buy into what we see with our eyes and just to assume, well, if only I could be really beautiful, if only I could be a Victoria's Secret runway model, then I would be totally confident. I would be totally secure. All of my struggles and body image issues and all these things would go away. But the reality is that's not the case. You can make it to the top and you can still struggle, which just reveals that it's not enough. We were made for something more, which is what you were experiencing and feeling and seeing. And so you started making her, at what point did you start thinking, I don't want to do this long term?
It happened pretty shortly after, because it was like everything was thrown at me at once. You know, that night I was like the number one Googled person in the world. From there, I was just getting tons of contracts for modeling jobs. I was being asked to be the face with like the Kardashians at parties and different things like that, different red carpet events. And it was just all kind of happening at once, just getting pulled in so many different directions and seeing like that whole world and how just it didn't honor God at all. Nothing in that industry honors the Lord. And definitely wasn't honoring my husband. The things that I was doing, you know, modeling in lingerie, flirting with other guys, you know, you see the Victoria's Secret angels and they're always very flirty and That's pretty much what Victoria's Secret wants from these models. They want them to be flirty and, you know, I remember being backstage and they had like guys that paid money to get to come backstage and meet the models, and kind of hang out with us in our robes, during the runway show. And, they wanted the models to, you know, take pictures with them and drink alcohol with them, underage models drinking alcohol before we even walked on the runway. And, all of this, it was just like the Lord really started convicting me of, all of these things, that's not the way that he called me to live. That's not the way that he saw me as a wife and possibly a future mother. And so I really started getting convicted that, you know, the things that I was doing was breaking my husband's heart. You know, seeing me in lingerie for other men to see and the whole world to see. And then especially, me trying to get attention from other men. That was something that was a big struggle for me. Because I always got attention from other men, growing up, you know, being so thin and like looking like a model, I guess a lot of guys gave me attention. And then, that almost became like an addiction for me. Mm-hmm. If I wasn't getting attention, I didn't feel good about myself. And, so I was always seeking that out. And even when I got married, I didn't just like want my husband's attention. I was still wanting other people. And, which is kind of also crazy because the night of the runway show, I got all the attention, you know, and I still felt so empty and so insecure, because I wasn't looking for my fulfillment from Christ and seeing myself the way he sees me.
So when did you decide to leave?
So it was actually during a photo shoot for FHM magazine, which I don't know if you've heard of it, but it stands for Him magazine. And so it's a men's magazine. And I was shooting for the cover of it, and Kim Kardashian was on the cover the month before me. And so this was a big deal. It was a big magazine. And so I was shooting for that, and the photographer, it was already lingerie, so I'm already in a bra and underwear, but he wanted me to take more off. And I told him that I wasn't comfortable with that and I didn't want to do it. And he just kept pressuring me and pressuring me. And then eventually he like got mad and walked out the room and like yelled, "What are you even here for if you're not going to do your job? And, you know, you're a model, this is what you're paid to do." And I was just like, he's right. What, why am I here? Like, this, I don't want to dishonor my husband this way. I don't want to dishonor God this way. He's right. I don't know what I'm doing here. And so that night I remember just going back to my husband and just in tears, like asking him to forgive me for how I've just been disrespectful and not honoring our marriage. And I just prayed to God. I just asked him, you know, to really just show me, like, I won this thing. I'm booking all these jobs, but I'm feeling this struggle in my heart with, you know, not wanting to do these things. And so I just called out to him, and he really just convicted my heart and showed me that he had a much better path for me, and it wasn't in the modeling world.
So you made the choice to leave everything. Like, what was once your biggest dream was to become the Victoria's Secret model. You were willing to turn your back on everything.
I was. And the awesome thing is that when I finally like made the decision and I knew that I wasn't going to model lingerie anymore, I knew that I wasn't going to be, you know, in this whole industry, I had peace, like peace that I hadn't felt before. It was something that could only come from God. There wasn't like regret or, oh, I miss doing this. I miss, you know, those lavish trips to St. Bart's doing photo shoots. There wasn't any of that. I just had complete peace about it.
Wow, that's so the Lord. Like when he directs, even if it's something really hard and we obey, like he just gives us so much peace on the other side. But I'm sure people looking on thought you were crazy. I mean, how did the world, how did Victoria's Secret, some of your friends in that industry, how did they respond to your decision?
Definitely, I got a lot of backlash for my decision. A lot of the models felt like I was judging them, you know, for making a decision. And so a lot of them didn't want to stay friends with me. Victoria's Secret definitely wasn't happy, especially about my book. And they tried to sue me for some of the things I talk about in my book because I was shedding light on a lot of things that happened. And now actually a lot has come out, like in the past, you know, 4 to 5 years, a lot about Victoria's Secret and, the things that, and a lot of models actually have left Victoria's Secret. And so it's kind of been neat to see that, you know, I'm not the only one who has spoken out. And, but at that time they definitely were not happy, you know, trying to sue me and, a lot of the news, like stations wanted to have me on to share because they had never heard of them, or like somebody leaving such a lucrative career for their faith. And so I had a lot of different people have me come on and share my story of why I left. And it was a really, it ended up being like a really publicized thing. When I like made my decision, I didn't really make any announcements other than that tweet that you had talked about, you know, wanting to be a Proverbs 31 wife and woman. And that was kind of the thing that people were like, wait, she left the industry. And like, it became,
Like a big, was that tweet what kind of got the ball rolling with everyone talking about it?
It seemed like it did, because before that I just kind of slowly, you know, was just transitioning out and, you know, turning down jobs. And I told my agency in the beginning, I just told them I'm not taking jobs that have lingerie or swim or any of these. And then eventually it was like, I can't even be in the industry modeling normal clothes because it's still all about selling sex, all sexualized. You know, it's all, they just Photoshop it all. It's all about being in provocative positions, you know, with your body. And so eventually I just couldn't be in the industry at all.
In your book, well, you mentioned this earlier about your cousin and that being a turning point. So now you're out, right? You're out of the industry. And what did that look like for you when you were out? Did you still have that sense of peace? Were you excited about moving forward? Were you uncertain about the future? What were you feeling?
I was really excited. I had that awesome peace, and really my marriage was just so much better because God really used all of this, getting all that attention and fame, to show me that I was sinning against my husband by seeking out the attention from other men. And I was able to ask, you know, my husband for forgiveness, ask God for forgiveness, and repent of that. And now it's not even a struggle for me anymore. After leaving the industry and kind of just getting away from all of that, I even had to cut out social media, which was Facebook, because we didn't like have it. And all this, you know, all the stuff we have now. A reality back then, but I still like deleted my Facebook. I just really made a lot of changes in my life where it would be easier for me not to be tempted with wanting that attention. And I had so much peace being able to come on the other side where I didn't even like seek out that attention. I didn't even desire it anymore. And it just made my marriage so much better, which is so much more important to me than any career or, you know, anything that the world has to offer. Really, marriage is such a valuable thing. And it's not a worldly thing. It's a heavenly thing. So
yes,
meant so much to me to be able to focus more on my marriage. And so, yeah, I was really excited.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm sure your husband was excited too. I can only imagine. One of the things that we talk about in Girl Defined, and specifically chapter 8, where we talk about beauty, beauty that doesn't need a runway, is this idea that we say beauty has become a beast. Like, beauty is the beast, and that it's this, we chase after this image as women, and it really has become so idolatrous. Like, beauty has become an idol for so many of us in our hearts, and we don't realize it. And what I'm hearing in your story is that maybe for a time, beauty was an idol. Receiving affirmation and attention based on your physical appearance was an idol. And then there came a turning point in your life where you realized, that's not fulfilling me. That's not satisfying me. The only way I'm going to get this satisfaction is in my creator, my maker, by using my life to serve him and glorify him, not look for that in others. And so it sounds to me like you laid that idol down. You were like, I'm done with this. I'm not worshiping this idol any longer. I'm not serving and sacrificing for this idol. I'm living for the one true God.
Yeah, that's definitely such, so true to my story. Not only did I idolize beauty and, you know, my outer looks and appearance, but also my career and like the status of just that success. I idolized success in the modeling world a lot. And I'm so glad that the Lord revealed that to me, that I was putting all of those things before him, that I was putting my dreams before even seeking what he had planned for me, what his will was for me. I was really hoping to live for my will, not his. And so being able to like put away all of those idols and just focus on growing more in scripture and, you know, being more involved in my church, and just, I really just tried to learn as much as I could about my relationship with Christ and focusing on that, my prayer life, listening to good audiobooks or podcasts. And so I really just made some big changes in my life. And the biggest thing was just focusing on Christ fully versus myself, because I was so focused on myself and what my goals were, my dreams, you know, my plans, not his. And his plans are so much better.
They're so much better. Sometimes so different than what we imagine. That's so much better. So looking back now, I mean, has it been 12, 13 years?
Yeah. So the runway show was the end of 2009, and my book came out in 2014, I think, is when it was. I know the process of writing it took a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been over a decade. And things are so much different than I ever thought, because when I was a model, I didn't want kids. You know, I didn't want to stretch out my body, and I really just listened to the world that kids were an inconvenience, that they ruin your body, that it's so much work, and it's better just to have pets. And God really changed my heart because I went from not wanting to have kids to now having a house full of kids. Aww. And even homeschooling the kids. And
wow.
So it's just such a big difference. But I'm really just focusing on what I believe he's calling me to, versus seeking out my own desires or what's convenient for me or what's, you know, more comfortable for me. And I'm just so much more content, definitely more content with who I am. As far as beauty goes, or my looks, my body, even though this is the biggest I've ever been in my life. And like, I'm content with it. I'm happy because I really just see myself the way he sees me, which is for my heart, not my outward appearance. Yes. Christ focuses on what's in our hearts, the attributes of our hearts. And, I just feel like the more I focus on being loving and kind and gracious and focusing on scripture, the more content that I am with who I am.
What do you want younger women to know about true beauty? What would you say are some of the most important things?
True beauty lies within. It's really about, you know, who you are inside, how you treat people. Because we've all heard, you know, the saying that somebody could be very beautiful on the outside by the world standards, but if they're just horrible to people and so rude to people, they're really not a beautiful person. And it's so true. Like sharing and spreading beauty is by our actions and how we treat people and how we love people. And, that's where what I believe true beauty is. And as we scroll on social media and, you know, compare ourselves to all these images that have filters, they have Photoshop, you know, back when I was modeling, it was like the images in magazines and on ads, those were Photoshopped. Stuff on social media wasn't back then, but now
right.
There's apps, you know, that you can change your whole appearance. And so everything pretty much that we see is filtered or Photoshopped. And so many women and especially young girls are growing up seeing these images, thinking that that's what they have to live up to, the standard. But we really don't have to live up to that at all. Like, it's just such an illusion. And the more we chase it, the more insecure we become. Because you can never attain it. Like, it's such an illusion. It's all fake. You can't live up to it. So if you continue to chase it, you're just going to be shackled. You're going to be, you know, in chains. It's like a prison, your own little prison that you're living in, because you're chasing after this thing that you're never going to get. And so I just really encourage girls to stop looking at these images and comparing themselves to these images that we see all around us, and just start focusing on how you could become a better person, how you could live for the Lord more, how you could focus on becoming more kind and more loving and just really loving others. That's something that is really lacking in our society right now, towards other people. I think social media has really given us a way to be more self-absorbed. And so the more we could just focus on loving others, even using social media to be that kind of a light and a love towards other people is a great thing.
Proverbs 31:30 is so applicable to this conversation. The idea that charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting. You know, it doesn't last, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Like you're saying, the heart, the kindness, like the character working, like if we spent half as much time, you know, growing in our relationship with the Lord, working on our character, loving others, showing kindness as we do on our outward appearance or on Instagram posts or getting that perfect filter for that perfect reel, whatever it is, like imagine if we spent half as much time investing in our relationship with the Lord, cultivating that true beauty that lasts. It doesn't fade with time. It exists all the way into eternity and impacts those around us in a real way for the better. And so I love your story. I love your testimony. It's been so encouraging to me hearing it. Thank you for sharing it, just being so transparent about some of your lowest points and then where the Lord has brought you. And you had to make the choice to surrender. You had to make the choice to give up that idol and pursue the Lord wholeheartedly. And that's not easy to do, but He gave you the grace, the strength. You followed Him, you obeyed, and it has clearly landed you in a much better place, a place where you're actually thriving. And you had it all before, according to the world, but you weren't thriving. You gave it all up, you pursued the Lord, and now you have peace. Now you're thriving. Now you're making a true impact in the lives of women all over the world. So thank you so much for what you're doing, for how you're speaking out about this, spreading God's love, spreading His truth. It's been such an honor to have you on the Girl Defined show.
Thanks for having me. It's been such a blessing, and I love everything that you guys stand for, and the way you're impacting women is, and girls too, is just so awesome to see and so needed in our society right now.
Aw, thanks, Kylie. And guys, if you haven't read her book, I'm No Angel, from Victoria's Secret role model to, I mean, what is it? From Victoria's Secret model to role model. Did I get it right? Yeah. Go grab a copy. If you appreciated this conversation, then you will love her book. You'll be so encouraged by it. And is there a place people can follow you online, social media?
Yeah, on Instagram. I have an Instagram account, and yeah, that's pretty much where I post.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks again, Kylie.